That had to stop. Oh, that was good. Are we on? Okay. Shay, is that your name? All right, man. That was some good stuff. All the way from Georgia. Oh, boy. Got me all messed up, Shay. Oh, boy. Okay. It's all good, though. It's all good. Let's see here. Where are we at? Okay. Yeah, there we go. Well, we've been talking about reconciliation and creating an environment where we can grow, getting back to the life God created us for before the fall from grace in the garden. So that's kind of what, you know, that's what God is doing in his people today, is getting us back to that life before the fall from grace. So we want to create, and before the fall from grace, remember, there's never any judging, there's never any criticism and condemning thoughts or speech before the fall from grace. So that's what we want to get away from, that so people, because people feel that when they come in here, don't they? You know, when you get around people that are judging you and criticizing you, you feel that. It's kind of raunchy, isn't it? I went to the dentist on Friday and had my teeth cleaned. And my hygienist, I got a new hygienist, and she's really good at it. And so she's cleaning my teeth, you know, and she kept saying, you know, you work really hard when you floss your teeth. She said that probably 7 or 8 times. You know, I said, I don't really work that hard at flossing my teeth. She was probing, is what she was doing, trying to get something, you know, to see how hard. She goes, yeah, duh, I know you're not working that hard at it. Because she went over this thing and showed me how to really do it really well, you know. You know, it's like that's essential just to keep your teeth today. It's flossing them teeth. What's he talking about teeth for? Well, you know what? We need to get that. You know, I tell you, my parents took their chops out at night and went to bed and went on. I don't want to do that. You guys want to do that? You know, if you got those, hey, it's all right. I'm not messing with you. But, you know, if we step it up in that area, we don't have to go there. Right? So, yeah. Do what? We want to, you know, I'm just trying to help y'all, right? Remember, we're exercising, we're watching what we eat, and now we got to take care of our teeth. Preach that word, right? All right. We are going, hey, you know, I only did 23 this week, so I was 7 short, but I might bust it out today if I got some good clear weather. John, get you some. That's what John always says. Get you some. That's a little joke between John and I. All right. Here we are. Somebody gave me this poem last night, and I like it. It talks about butt prints in the sand. Have you heard that? Well, I like it. No, it's not. No. Listen. Because we're talking about growing and being in an environment where we're going to grow and mature in the things of God. Now listen, one night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. And then some stranger's prints appeared. I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat. But Lord, They are too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand, or leave their butt prints in the sand. I like that. That's powerful. You know, that isn't just funny. That's got some power in it. And that's the truth. Right? Our mission is not to sit, watch, and wait, is it? All right. I like that. When I read that, I thought that's anointed. It's funny, but it's anointed. It's got some truth on it. All right. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 11. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. You may be seated. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for this place to gather in your presence. We thank you for your presence, Lord. You said where two or more are gathered in your name, that there you are in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you are even here with us by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for everyone here. Lord, we ask that you just continue, your anointing continues to flow here today. And that, Lord, we are able to share that love that we found, Lord. That love that Shay was talking about, Lord. Lord, just release that today, Lord. Father, just increase our love for you and our love for each other, Lord. Lord, let your word have its way in our hearts. Lord, may none of us remain the same because we have been in your presence and among your people. Father, we thank you for it. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, that Lord, they would come to know you, Lord. Father, we just trust you today and we put it all in your hands in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. We are talking about growing up. And remember, I went over the idea of being a baby. You know, when you're born again, you're a baby Christian, okay? You start out as a baby, and then you're a child, and then you start to get into maturity and adulthood. So that's the process of growing, all right? And so in the natural, here's what that looks like. It's in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. That's before you're born again, you're a natural man. And then when you become born again, now you can become, you're a carnal Christian. Okay? And now, as you renew your mind, it says the carnal mind brings forth death. But they're still believers, they're born again, but they're just baby Christians. But they haven't renewed their mind. You can be in church for 30, 40, 50 years and be a carnal Christian and not have your mind renewed. You see that? And that's a carnal Christian. And they won't ever be fulfilled. They'll always probably be miserable because they're not renewing their mind to what God created them to be before the fall from grace. You see that? That's why we got to get back to life and get into that. And as we renew our minds to the Word of God, now we're getting into maturity, adulthood, okay? Adulthood. And that's the call of God on our life. And so a mature Christian, his decisions are based on what God's Word says, not his feelings, not his emotions, not the circumstances, not the outward. It's solely based on what God's word is saying. That's maturity. And that's where God has taken his people. Am I making sense? Because listen, folks, God has called you to be people of truth, right? Remember we talked about last week about carrying our cross. And Jesus said that he came to bear witness of the truth, right? He came to bear witness of the truth to us, to the people of truth. And the people of truth hear his voice. Remember the word witness means he saw it with his eyes and he heard it with his ears. He saw with his eyes and heard with his ears your life before the foundations of the world. So that's the little voice he's trying to get to you in the midst of all the chaos and all the messages you're receiving from media, the television, all those messages. The truth is trying to get to you about who you are and what you're called and created for. And Jesus saw it with his eyes and heard it with his ears. He's just trying to get it to you. But you have to be purposeful and intentional about hearing that voice and receiving that. Am I making sense? So that's where we're moving. That's why we have to grow. And remember, all our problems are a lack of spiritual growth. Our problems in our life are the result of not growing spiritually. So we have to get ourselves in a position and in a place and in an environment where we can grow spiritually, okay? Now, we don't want to remain as children. Children are known by their deeds, not by their age, not by their understanding or knowledge, but by their deeds, is what he says, right? By what they do, by what you do, you see? That communicates where you are in your walk with God, by what the things you do, right? Don't just be hearers of the word, deceiving yourselves, but be what? Doers of the word. So we're known by what we do. If we don't know what to do, where are we going to stay? Babies, right? We're going to stay children if we don't know what to do. If we don't know what the word says, we're not going to know what to do. Am I making sense? So that's what we have to grow in that area. Now, okay. Go in 1 Corinthians 13:11. You don't have to go there. Paul said, when I was a child, what? I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, what? Put away childish things. So you see, maturity is putting away. That's your part. You got to put some stuff away. That's your responsibility. God is not the one who determines your success. You determine your success by what you do. God is not the one. You are the one who determines your success. So he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Children will say anything. I mean, they'll just blurt out anything. Right? I mean, Zeta just comes up with some stuff. She'll just say anything. And and you got to watch what you say around because she'll repeat it. Right? Children repeat things. And you know what the Bible says? People that repeat things are talebearers. Right? So when you got a church full of people and everybody repeating everything, you got a bunch of talebearers. Am I making sense? So that's why we have to be, and you know what? They hear something and they go repeat it. I'm going to tell you what, that's childish. If you haven't seen it with your eyes and heard it with your ears, you have no business repeating it. Jesus said, that's a false witness. Right? If you haven't seen it with your eyes and heard it with your ears, you need to button it up. Well, you're getting honest now. Well, am I? Folks, we need to hear that. Because when we repeat everything that we just heard and we didn't see it with our eyes and hear it with our ears, we don't have no business repeating it. That's what stirs up strife and discord. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 17 through 19, that God hates it. He abhors it. He hates it. That's why we have to grow in that area. Am I making sense?
So this is an area we have to grow. So that's why you can't be. And if somebody's coming up to you and talking about somebody or calls you on the phone and that person's not in the presence, you need to shut them up. If that person's not right there, you need to just say, okay, let's go get them and let's talk about it. Or shut your stuff up. Tell them. Am I making sense? This is so big. Because, folks, that doesn't promote unity at all. And remember, we are to deem unity above our own agenda. Unity is what brings the presence of God. And that doesn't promote unity. And we are to be people who are promoting unity. Am I making sense this morning? I know I'm preaching a little bit, but that's why we're here, right? All right. A child will say anything. A child has a lack of self-control. A child wants a lot of attention. Children like a lot of affirmation. I tell you what, Zeta comes over and I say how pretty she looks. Oh, she just, you know, waltz in the kitchen and, you know, give me a little, you know. She loves it when you do that. They just like attention, don't they? And you know what? Today is her birthday. So we'll be at her house and she'll just be the center of attention. She's the only grandchild. Oh, man, we got to do something with that. But, you know, she just loves that attention. And that's the way children are. They like attention. Is this helping anybody? Get you some. Children need to be told over and over and over and over and over. Sometimes I have to tell Zeta some things over and over and over. She does keep doing them. My own kids, I had to tell them over and tell them, then I had to fix their behind up. I know a lot of people don't want to do that today. They want this time out, but you need to fix their behind up. I'm serious. All right. But we don't do that in the church, right? All right. Now think about this. If we're going to grow, folks, we have to be purposeful and intentional about it. It's not going to just happen. That's our responsibility. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, we're going to look at verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And let's look at verse 9. Well, let's look at verse 9, 9 through 11. Talking about growing and, okay, getting out of the childhood stage. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do not toward... And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. You know, we're never to stop. We're to increase in our love for each other, our love for God. We're never arrive, right? Now look, that you may walk properly. Wait a minute, verse 11. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life. To mind your own business. And to work with your own hands as we command you. Children are always in someone else's business. Am I making sense? Zeta always wants to know what's going on. I'll be talking, well, what's this going on? What? She'll want to know. Why, Papaw? Why? What? Well, he's in my business. And you know, that I excuse that because she's a child, right? But you see, folks, there has to be a point where we start minding our own business. When we got to get in everybody else's business, you see, something's wrong. Am I making sense? Come on now. We have to mind our own business. Because, folks, we got enough to deal with in our own lives, much less try to figure out what you're doing and where you're involved and what you're going and what's going on in your life. Am I making sense? Children are always in other people's business. That's why we have to get to a place where we start looking at our own lives, right? And our own growth. Now, he says, a quiet life in verse 11, that you also aspire. One translation says that you study, and aspire to have a quiet life. Folks, you're going to have to study to have a quiet life. Now look at this. Maturity always thinks about others and their well-being. And really, now watch this. It takes someone with more maturity to begin to think about others. Because children are always thinking about themselves, right? And always into other people's business. But when you think about others, you're concerned about others, right? And you begin to alter some of your stuff that others will benefit. Now watch this. Quiet, the word quiet there means keeping peace, refrain from labor, undisturbed, and calm. Keeping peace, refrain from labor, undisturbed, and calm. Have you ever been around children? They're just all over the place. But we're to get to a place where we're calm. We have a calmness. And no matter who's in the room, we can be calm. We're undisturbed. See, that's maturity. That's maturity. When to speak. Remember Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. You know what? Children are, they're not very apposite. Y'all know what apposite means? Good, I want to help you. Apposite means well put and to the point. Well put and to the point. And you spell it APPOSITE. And in this book I have, it gives an understanding and the original of this word, but it talks about Winston Churchill and George Bernard Shaw. You ever heard of him? Some of y'all, if you're in history. He was into these plays and stuff. So George Bernard Shaw and Winston Churchill were never, they were always at odds. You know, always had struggles with each other. So George Bernard Shaw sent Winston Churchill 2 tickets to come to his opening play. He sent these tickets to him. And so he said, bring a friend, if you have one. That's what he said to Winston Churchill. So Winston Churchill sends a note back and says, I won't be able to make it to opening night, but send me 2 tickets for the next night, if there is one. See, that's well put and to the point. And then this this queen lady, Adar, she said, in the same understanding of this word apposite, she said, if I was married to Winston Churchill, I would put poison in his coffee. And Winston Churchill made an announcement. He said, if I was married to her, I would drink it. See, that's apposite. That's well put and to the point. Jesus, when Jesus was with the woman who was caught in adultery, right? When he was with the woman that was caught in adultery, they were all going to stone her. And he said, you without sin cast the first stone. And they all had to drop their rocks. See, that's apposite and to the point. You see that? And so we have to, as we grow in our speech and all, we want to become more apposite. You know, that's just a little, I think that's important. To think about what we're going to say. You know, we can have fun with that, but it's the thought that goes into it. Children don't think about what they're saying, they just say it. Does this make sense? All right. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's a time to speak and a time to be quiet, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So there are times, right? All right. We are to be governed not by how people treat us. We are to be governed by God's word and not how people treat us. All right? Children want everybody to like them. And if, you know, if somebody's mad at them, they have a fit, don't they? Or if something doesn't go their way, they just have a fit. You know, I don't know. I had Zeta out for pizza the other night, and she just had a fit. You know, if I know they're probably going to hear this, but you know, I took her to get pizza, and she wants double cheese pizza, and that's it. And I said, okay. So I like vegetables called vegetarian pizza. So I get half vegetarian pizza and half double cheese. And so, you know, the guy brings it out on this thing. You know, we're at this Fox's Pizza in Troy. And she sees it. I don't like vegetables, Papa. I said, Zeta, your half doesn't have them on there. It just wouldn't register. And, you know, she's making this big thing, and I'm thinking, okay, let's just go home. You know, I mean, she was like all busted out because, you know, she thought she was going to have a vegetable. And I said, Zeta, yours don't. I said, come, I see, yours don't have anything. I don't like vegetables. I said, I do. You know, she just didn't, it wasn't, you know, it just blew her gasket because it wasn't her way. Am I making sense? That's the way children act. And sometimes that's the way we can act. Now, no, none of you all act that way. Ephesians 4, go there. Ephesians 4. And let's look at 14. Ephesians 4:14. That we should no longer be what? Children. No longer be children. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, the love that our brother was singing about. That's the love that we found, the God kind of love. The love that never fails. That's what we're to be in, to build up people in that love. Now watch this. If we're children, we can't build up because we're tossed to and fro. That's what Paul says, that we would no longer be children
tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Children, you know, they'll do one thing and they'll go to one place and they'll learn one thing. If you keep telling them, they're going to just keep repeating and doing what you're telling them, right? We got to get to a place where we are established and planted in a place and get under the mission, right? And get under authority. Children don't like authority, right? They like to do their own thing. Am I making sense? Folks, the kingdom of God is all about understanding authority. It's all about understanding authority. And I'm not trying to be no big dictator, because that's not what authority is about. It's all about understanding. Our mission here is to seek and save the lost through preaching the gospel and making disciples. That's our mission. Our vision is different. Your mission and your vision should be different. Our mission is to seek and save the lost. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. The word lost means to be out of alignment, to be out of alignment, and to be out of position. The mission in this church is to get people back in alignment and back into their position with God. Am I making sense? That's the mission of this church. Well, it takes authority to get that moving and going in the right direction. The word submission is another word for authority. Sub means under, like a submarine goes down under. In other words, we need to get under the mission and get behind the mission and keep it moving forward, because people's lives are out of alignment and out of position with God. Am I making sense? And people who understand authority will get behind that and move with that with clarity and direction. Am I making sense? This is important. If we have a mission, we have to understand it and we have to work together and be unified and go in that direction. Am I making sense? All right. Now, think about this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things. We're to speak the truth in love. What's the truth? Remember, the truth was established before the foundations of the world on our life. We're to speak that in love. As we grow in who we are and we understand who we are and who Christ is, folks, now we're in the truth. We're to speak that in love to each other, to ourselves, edify one another, because that's integrity. See, integrity is pursuing truth and real love. Without love, you have no integrity. Integrity is not just morals and ethics and being honest. Integrity goes far beyond that. It's seeking the truth and it's real love. And if the people of God are to be people of integrity, am I making sense? Now think about this. People of integrity and are seeking truth and real love, now watch this, they process things different. They process things different. It's like the metabolism in our bodies, okay? Our bodies process and metabolize things, and we eat food, and it goes in our body, and our body has a metabolism that takes out all the nutrients and the vitamins, and it moves them to our muscles, our organs, our brain, and it puts it all in its right places to promote health. And then the waste, it goes out the back door, right? We have a bowel movement. If you don't have a bowel movement, you're going to get sick. What are you talking about that in church for? We need to hear this. I have visited people in a hospital who are sick with that. And the Bible, there's a terminology, it's called septic. In other words, you can't release the waste. So your body becomes septic and you can die from that. I have known people who have died from that. Now listen to me. My friend, remember the guy I run with? 1 year ago, I asked him if I could share this. 1 year ago, his daughter fell from a balcony. All right? And went home to be with the Lord. 20 years old.
Beautiful young lady, had everything, but I'm just saying. Last Friday was when it happened, the 1 year. We just really shared with each other and cried with each other. But here's what I'm trying to show you something. Because Tom is a man of integrity. He's after truth and real love. He is doing well. You understand? He is doing well and going on with life. He just got nominated for the school board position. You know, the city council nominated him for that. He's on that now. He's going to have a big voice in the school system. Folks, it's all about pursuing truth and real love. Those kind of hits on our life have the ability to take us out. I've seen people have nervous breakdowns when their spouse leaves them. I've seen them become alcoholics. I've seen when children go off and get rebellious and do things, it just messes their world up. You know why? There's a lack of integrity. Hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. It's a lack of how you're processing. See, it doesn't remove the pain. It's just how you're processing it. You see that? It's how you're processing it. Because if you hold on to hurt and you hold on to those pains, you become spiritually septic. If you hold on to resentment and bitterness, you become spiritually septic. And it has the position to take you out spiritually. Man, get a hold of that. Oh, that right there helps me. That helps me get through. Because I'm going to process. I'm after what God established before the foundations of the world on my life. Are you with me? And I want the real thing when it comes to love. Because I got the real thing. And it's not dependent on a person. You see that? People will always let us down. But if I got him, he's going to make sure I get the real thing when I need it. Are you with me? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. We have to learn how to metabolize things. And when we do, we're going to get to the right place. But if we don't, we'll be distracted and sidetracked, and we may end up someplace we don't want to be. Big time. You need to get that. That right there is worth buying the tape for. I'm here to tell you. That helps me. As a pastor, I'll tell you, I hear some stuff and go, that helps me. That's the kind of stuff that gets me through and helps me to keep moving. Am I making sense? All right. Children are too concerned with what other people think. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. What time we got here? 10 o'clock. We're all right? 1 Corinthians 4:3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. You see, Paul's letting you know it's a little thing. You're judging me? We're in no position to judge anybody, are we? We get these preconceived ideas about people, or we hear something, you know, and then we want to start judging somebody. Folks, that right there stinks. It does. Unless we know it, unless we've seen it with our eyes and heard it with our ears, we need to shush, don't we? But you know what? Here's the thing. We judge people in our mind. You know, I used to judge some of my relatives. And I'd walk in the room and I'd just be judging them. Just thinking about, no, I don't have to say nothing. But you know what? People pick that up. People pick it up when you're judging them. I'd walk in the room and just start, you know, judging them. Well, there is no, you know, most people that aren't in this word daily and aren't really pursuing truth and real, you know what? They don't have a clue. And see, maturity, you begin to see that they don't have a clue. So now you're growing in your maturity and love. Now you have what the understanding is, lovability. You have the ability to love somebody who's being unlovable. See, it's easy to love people who are being lovable, right? You're drawn to them and you draw from them. But folks, God is trying to get us to a place where we are loving people who are unlovable. We have the ability, what's coming out of us, we have the ability to love them when they're being raunchy. That's power. That's power. Am I making sense? See, and that's the love he's talking about here. That's the love. Speaking the love and truth. Edifying one another in love. That's the love he's talking about. Because folks, there's going to be some people who will come, they're not going to be lovable. They're going to snap at you and be vituperative, you know, and say words that hurt. But you're going to have to know where this thing's coming from, right? People are never our problem. Everybody say that. People are never my problem. See, what happens is we get to a place where we want to blame everybody else. That's what children do. They want to blame everybody else, right? Tommy did it. Johnny did it. Sally did it. No. You did it, right? Or you had something to do with it. When we grow and we mature, we begin to start owning up for our own lives. Am I making sense? All right. Now listen, go with me. Go. So we got to quit worrying about what other people think. Galatians 1:9, real quick. Galatians 1:9. We're almost done. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. A bondservant who's one who chose to be serving because he chose to serve this person because he loved the person. That's what a bondservant is. A bondservant wasn't forced into it. He chose it and had his ear marked and everything because he loved that person and the way they did things and the way they treated him. That's a bondservant. I want to be a bondservant of Christ. How about you? Well, that's why we got to get away from this idea of pleasing people. Because we get so wrapped up in pleasing people that we'll miss out on pleasing God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. So I want to please God. How about you? And that's where we need to get to a place where we're not so consumed about pleasing people. Because when we're pleasing people, we're going to miss God. Am I making sense? All right. Go with me to 1 Peter 2:15. We're almost done. We're having a Bible study today, aren't we? 1 Peter 2:15. What did I say, 1 Peter 2:15? Chapter 2, yeah, verse 15, okay. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You see, we need to keep doing the right thing. That's what Joseph did. He kept doing the right thing. And no matter what people said, he ended up being the second in charge in Egypt. The prime minister of Egypt. Because he kept doing the right thing. He didn't respond to the way people were responding to him. He just kept doing the right thing. Jesus kept doing the right thing. Jesus was one of the most misunderstood people that ever walked the earth. Well, Jesus was God. Well, he was human just like you and I are. He was misunderstood, though. Now, listen to this. This is the amplified version of 1 Peter 2:15. For it is God's will and God's intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence, muzzle, gag the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticism of foolish people. I like that. That's the amplified version. I'm going to say it again. 1 Peter 2:15 in the Amplified Bible. For it is God's will and God's intentions that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence, muzzle, gag the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticisms of foolish people. You see that? You know what? We need to get away from being so over-concerned about what people are saying. I'm only concerned is what if it's the truth. That's what we need to be concerned about. Right? If it's the truth, it's the truth. Right? That's the way that is. That's important. All right. As children want to take vengeance in their own hands. We need to remain and be free from the approval of men and others. Right? We need to remain free from the approval of men and others. Because folks, if we're always looking for approval, right, we're trying to please men. And I don't need your approval. I need you guys, right? We need each other, but I don't need your approval. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then I have to go on, right? That's it. I have to go on. Now, people will always... You know what? Some people just aren't going to like you. I got a revelation. Some people just aren't going to like you. Right? Not everybody's going to like us. We need to understand that. And get away from this idea that we want everybody to like us. All right. Numbers 13, and we are done. Numbers 13. You know, when you pray with your children, and you're constantly... You know, taking your children to church and teaching them God's ways, people are going to look at you and think, what are you going to church on Wednesday night for? People are going to look at you and wonder, what are you doing? But you know what? It is work sometimes. It's hard work sometimes. But you know what? That's the only way you're going to get it. That's the only way you're going to get that voice, is you're going to have to be intentional and purposeful about it. Now, look at this. Numbers 13. Now, God told the children of Israel, he said, go and possess the land that I have given you. He gave it to them. He told them he gave it to them. Now, this is what it says, verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we had gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You see, children are always looking at the circumstances and what's going on out here. And they began to murmur and complain about the circumstances and the land that they were in. And they began to exaggerate. That's an exaggeration. We're like grasshoppers, they're like giants. Look at that picture, a little grasshopper. That it was a major exaggeration. How many of you exaggerate your problems? You're always making your problems bigger than God. God is bigger than your problems. God is bigger than your problems. And so that's what they were doing. But now look, and they never possessed the land. But two of them folks did. Go with me to in Numbers 14 and verse 24. 14:24, Numbers. Now, listen to this. But my servant Caleb was one that possessed the land. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Even his children were going to inherit all that he had possessed. And God was with him. Why? Because he had a different spirit. See, that's the idea. Natural, carnal, and spiritual. Caleb was spiritual. And when we're spiritual, we are growing and maturing. You see that? When we are spiritual people and we begin to process things of the Holy Spirit and begin to see it His way, we're different people. And we're going to possess the things God has for us. But without that, we won't. Joshua was one that possessed the things of God as well. He possessed the land. Where's my music, folks? I got a closing word for you. All right? So hang with me. And we're going to close here. Jesse is doing a blessed job, isn't he? God is, you know, folks, listen. Children, what he said, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. Children's little minds, they just go off on all on everything, don't they? Here's my point. As we mature in the things of God, we're going to have to be more aware of what we're thinking. And we're going to have to practice meditation. Meditation. And those of you who got your Bibles right there with you, go with me to Joshua. You don't have to, but if you got it there, you can go there. Joshua 1:8. I want to read this verse to you real quick.
Remember, Joshua and Caleb were the ones who possessed the land, everything God had for them, because they followed him fully. I don't want a half step, but how about you? Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now, Joshua was just handed the baton after Moses died. And this is what he was saying. This is my marching orders. This is what's going to get me through. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Folks, what you meditate on is where you're going. Are you meditating on your problem? Are you always thinking about your problem? Are you thinking about, full of fear? But, you know, you're not going to make it here. Is that what you're thinking about all the time? That's where you're going. As we mature, we need to harness those thoughts and get them into God's Word. Philippians 4:8 says this, whatsoever things are true. Paul was in prison with guards breathing down his neck, chains around his feet, and this is what he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And in the next verse it says, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, when you understand that I have to take responsibility even for my thoughts, I need to quit thinking about my problems and get my mind on God's Word. That's where I'm going. And that's how I'm going to be all that God created me to be. Am I making sense today?